I feel toward this congregation very much like Paul must have felt toward the Philippian church. He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And whenever I have an opportunity to come and speak to you, it's always a great joy. As a matter of fact, as I think about the joys that I've experienced in my 73 years of ministry, I am thankful that all of the 10 congregations with which I've been privileged to work over the years, I've been invited back for gospel meetings several times in all of them. And I'm thankful to be here today. I appreciate the elders asking me to come today to fill in because your preachers, somehow or another, had a problem with scheduling today. Brother Michael is sick. I'm sorry about that, and I certainly hope that his back will be better right away. Two of the preachers are in Gatlinburg with our young people. Each year, something like 12,000 to 15,000 young people gather there. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Just think of the inspiration, the instruction, and all of that that occurs, and all the good fellowship of seeing young people who have their focus right in this world. It's good to be with you today, and the text that was read to you, I'm going to speak on this about 20 or 25 minutes because I've got to leave, and if I could have one of the elders to come up during the invitation to receive those who might respond, I must get on out of here because I have a class to teach by 20 after 10. That's going to be pretty close. If there's ever been a time in our experience when the passage that Toby has read is needful for us, it is today. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of peace and be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. This verse is so important to us today. I think of the four deadly D's, despair, despondency, depression, and dismay. They become the deadly D's of our society. The Wall Street Journal says, we're having an epidemic of depression in this country. There's actually more people in hospital beds right at this moment as I speak from depression than all other matters concerned. No one seems to be able to figure out why so many people are taking their lives. Never have more under the age of 20 committed suicide. And never have more males above the age of 60 committed suicide. So how refreshing to hear these words of Jesus, be of good cheer. Wasn't it difficult in that day as well as ours? In the context of the reading this morning, our Lord is talking to his disciples. He had announced to them that he was going to go away. They're very much troubled. As you know, in chapter 14, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. And so beginning in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, 14, 15, 16, our Lord is speaking primarily to his disciples. He's comforting them. He assured them that when he went away, that he would send the helper, namely the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would be with them and would guide them into all truth. And then in chapter 17, we have that wonderful prayer that Jesus prayed on behalf of his disciples. You know, there are polls that reveal today that we have very little confidence in government. I think we can understand why. It just seems to me that Washington is very dysfunctional. There's never been a time in our history as a nation where there is less confidence in the Congress than it is today. And even in our court systems, there seems to be less confidence than we've had in a long, long time. And even in our congregations. A preacher not too long ago had been preaching 40 years, said this, I have not known in my ministry of more than 40 years of so many preachers quitting, more elders resigning than in our time. There was a time a few years ago when I got about 50 bulletins a week from various congregations. Hardly did I ever miss a week seeing where some members had just fallen out, elders and preachers quitting, resigning. I have a good friend who has since passed away, but Prentice Meadow was a classmate of mine, and he traveled a great deal among the congregations. And he said this, "I am sensing a general sense of despair among audiences in our congregations." A number of years ago, I was privileged to have as a teacher at Lipscomb, Brother Ira North. Brother North came into our classes full of enthusiasm every time we met. And he loved the Madison Church. And I could recall when they had a goal and they were all working as one to reach that goal. That goal was 5,000 in Bible classes. They reached that goal, and I was privileged to hear Brother North announce it. But I was talking to a lady last week who is a member of the Madison Church, and she said, "Now we have about 500. Now think about that. There just seems to be a spirit of hopelessness among us. So what I'm saying is, I do not know of a passage more fitting and more appropriate for God's people, His disciples, each of us as Christians, than this one right here. In me there is peace. Be of good cheer. You'll have tribulation. Difficulties will come, but be of good cheer." Here's what I thought I would do for a few minutes. I thought I would take the three instances in the ministry of Jesus where he used that phrase, "be of good cheer," and see what we can learn from each one of them very briefly this morning. The first passage is Matthew chapter 9 at verse 2, where he speaks of the good cheer of radical forgiveness. He entered a ship and passed over to his own city. Mark tells us that city was Capernaum. They brought a man sick of palsy, lying on a cot. Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick man, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." Now here, a paralyzed man had friends. I submit that any time that we're sick, isn't it great to have friends and family? And these four friends brought him to the house where Jesus was. But when they arrived, they couldn't get in the door because the house was packed with people. Jesus was in the midst of them. You know, people thronged to our Lord. In his early ministry in Galilee, it is said that all of Galilee came out and they brought all of their sick and diseased, and Jesus took notice of every one of them. But note, these friends are innovative. They went up on that flat roof, taking this man with them. And by the way, the houses in those days were flat-roofed houses. Because the flat roof became something like our patios today. And in the cool of the evening, they would go up there in order to be refreshed, relax, and visit. So what they did, they took up the tile and lowered the man right down into the presence of Jesus. Now here we have an example of simple obstacles would not stop these friends. They were determined to get their friend into the presence of Christ. And they dared to risk some displeasure to get their friend to Jesus. And when Jesus saw him, he said, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." But notice, they brought him for physical healing. And he needed to be healed physically. But Jesus saw the major problem. He saw that the man had a sin problem. And we all do. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when Jesus said, "Your sins be forgiven," All bedlam broke loose in that house. The Jews said, the very idea, who on earth can forgive sins? Only God can do that. You know, later on, they nailed him to a cross because he claimed to do that. And they charged him with blasphemy. And so Jesus then proved his credentials to forgive sin by saying to the man, sick of palsy, get up, take up your cot, and walk. And he did. And the record says that when the multitude saw that, they marveled and glorified God. By the way, that's the major purpose of the miracles of our Lord, not necessarily to make a sick person well, but to demonstrate his credentials to be the Son of God. And thus God was glorified. The cheer of radical forgiveness. He was sick and sad, but he was also sinful. And Jesus saw his major need and forgave him. I think there's a lesson there for us. The greatest need in our world today is forgiveness. The greatest need of sinful people is to have a right relationship with God. But what do we often do? We often do the opposite of that. Now, people have said to me over the years, if I could just get it all together, if I could just get my life together, I might think about the church. I might think about becoming a Christian. I've got this habit, and I need to work on this habit, and then I'll come to think about Christ. Or I've heard people say, my husband and I aren't getting along very well. If we ever get this marriage all straightened out, then we may give our lives to the Lord. Or one might say, I've got this business. If I can ever get that established, then I will think about giving my life to Christ. Or if I can get these children raised and educated, then I might think about Christ and the church. But Jesus says, look, you've got it all wrong. He says you'll never get things straightened out until you deal with your first problem. What is that first problem? Your sin. Get that forgiven. Get right with God. Son, your sins are forgiven. I don't know what sins may be in your life, but I know one thing. Whatever they are, the greatest need for you and for me is the cheer of forgiveness. Forgiveness. But now let me look at this other passage right quick. The cheer of good courage. Mark chapter 6 at verse 50. In life's difficulties, when we do not know which way to turn because of the troubles that we face, Jesus comes and says, be of good cheer, be of good courage. The passage here reads, they all saw him and were troubled. And he immediately talked with them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, what's the context here? Well, the apostles are out on the Sea of Galilee. It's about 3:00 in the morning, the darkest part of the night. Suddenly, a fierce storm settled upon that little boat. They think they're going to die. Jesus saw them. By the way, the Lord always sees you in your trouble. He knows where you live. He knows what difficulties you face. They think they're going to die, but Jesus, knowing their plight, walks to them on the water. The very waves that threatened to take them down, our Lord came walking on. And Jesus said, be of good cheer. They're scared nearly to death. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, I'm here. Lesson is, you're not alone. None of us are all alone. You're not at the mercy of the winds and the waves, because the master of heaven and earth even made the sea and the waves. You're not alone. Be courageous, be courageous. I don't know what problems you may face. All of us have difficulties. You may be facing a disease. Some may never be free from pain. Some struggle because of loved ones who are bedfast. Some with a spouse. Some with a troubled child. Some with a parent. There's some who are troubled by unemployment. Some business setbacks. Some struggle with troubled marriages. Some struggle with troubled children. There's so many struggles in this life. Whatever they are, the lesson is Jesus is near. And he says, amidst your storm, be of good courage. If out on the sea and you're tossed this way and then the other, our Lord says, be courageous. Paul talked about his problems. He referred to a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. By the way, the word thorn in that passage is not a little briar. It was a terrible problem Paul had. It was serious. In the Greek language, that word is a stake, a large, sharp, pointed stake. Not a little briar, but God's grace, Paul learned, was sufficient and enabled him to deal with his trouble and go on a better man. We never know when the storm may come, nor when the thorn will appear. It may come suddenly. Some of you, I'm sure, will remember the name Jack Lewis. Dr. Jack Lewis was one of the greatest scholars in the church. He taught for many years in the old mansion down on Cherry Street in Memphis, Tennessee, at Harding Graduate School. One day, that mansion caught fire, and it burned quickly. Brother Jack Lewis had 20,000 volumes in his library and years of research and all of his notes from all of those years of teaching. He said, my life's work has gone up in smoke. His wife was more focused and more had a better perspective. She said, not so, Jack. Said, your life's work is out there in all of those congregations where all of these preachers that you have trained over all of these years are now working and serving the kingdom of God. It's out there in all of these places where the missionaries that you trained are now teaching and preaching your word. She was right. She had the right perspective. You know, when you lose your health, your life's work, the words of Jesus seem so appropriate. Be of good courage. Now, there's one more time in the text that was read a while ago. He speaks of the cheer of overcoming. The last book of the Bible is a book about overcoming. I understand Brother Ben has been teaching that perhaps on Wednesday night. I am presently teaching that in my Wednesday class over at Sycamore. It's a great book, and it's so appropriate that we would have the book of Revelation as the pinnacle of God's divine revelation, because it's the grand finale toward which all of us aspire, that ultimate victory. These words were spoken by Jesus here in John 16, just before he was betrayed. Jesus was with the apostles in the upper room. He said a prayer. They sang a hymn and then went out to the Kidron Valley where the garden was located and where Judas would come with the soldiers to betray him. Then he would be led before Caiaphas, then before Annas, and then before Pilate and even Herod. Back and forth. What a night that was from one to another. But Jesus said, I have overcome, be of good cheer. And 3 days later, having passed through the paradise of God, he arose and said, Revelation 1:18, I was dead, but I am alive. Brethren, that's our hope right there. He was dead, and we commemorated that death this morning in the Lord's Supper, but he's alive. At the right hand of God right now. Death awaits all of us. But be of good cheer. There's something better. Death might come to us suddenly in the night. Be of good cheer. It may come at the end of a long and useful life. Be of good cheer. It may come at the end of a long illness that drives you to distraction. Be of good cheer. It may come at a grinding, crashing collision on the highway. But be of good cheer. It comes to all, young and old. Jesus said, I have overcome. Be of good cheer. The word is victory. Listen what the aged John said as he wrote 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Listen to these words of Paul, 2 Corinthians 2:14. He causes us to triumph in Christ. Through Christ, we can overcome this world, overcome the troubles and tribulation. What a blessed hope we have. And that's the message of Revelation. In Genesis, man lost paradise because of sin. In Revelation, through Christ, man is able to regain paradise through a Savior. So, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, Jesus can forgive. Be of good cheer, Jesus will be present in your storms. Be of good cheer, Jesus gives the victory at last. If you're not a Christian this morning, let these words sober your mind. Let them settle you. If you are a Christian, take heart. Take heart. Be of good cheer. If you're not a Christian, you need to be. It's urgent that you become one today through faith in Christ, repentance of sin, and then be immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins. Be of good cheer. As we stand together and sing.